Today on Older and Wiser.
What's better, money or friendship? You'll be surprised at what most people say.
We'll reveal the clever ways people avoid chatting on planes. And we'll tell you the place where teachers are most valued.
Plus, how your pet can help you find romance. You're listening to Older and Wiser.
Hey everybody, I'm Bob Bates here in Los Angeles, and with me today, as always, Susan Sikora. She's up there in Sonoma County, California. And, you know, I was thinking the other day about the points in our lives where we love to say our age. And I don't know if you remember back to when you were 6 years old or seven, and you just couldn't wait to tell people how old you were.
You know, I remember wanting to be 16 because that was, you know, the sweet 16 kind of thing, at least for girls. I think it's more, well, maybe it is. It's the same for boys now. Sure. I don't know.
But, so as you're growing up, you know, age is a source of pride. We're proud of how much older we are every year. Nowadays, I don't tend to toss around my age to people as much as I used to. I'm 64. But I don't say, hey, everybody, I'm 64. I'm 64. I don't say it
well,
much.
See, I do say my age a little bit more often, probably than I should.
Say it for us now so we'll know.
I will be 70.
Oh, so you're okay. This is interesting. You're not only throwing around the fact that you're 69, you're stepping it up and saying how you will be older.
Well, that's only because my birthday is like literally in 15 minutes almost, you know.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's coming up.
Is it tomorrow?
No.
Oh, okay.
But the truth is it took a while and I don't embrace saying it as much as maybe I should at this point. Get over it, you know. Mm-hmm. It's that time of year.
Are you proud or are you embarrassed by that number?
I don't think it's a proud embarrassed thing. I think it's I'm stunned.
I'm stunned.
Where the hell did time go, right?
How could this be true?
Yeah, how could this be true?
Well, let's get started today. Our first survey today comes to us from the Pew Research Center, one of our more reliable sources for surveys. They surveyed almost 5,000 Americans recently and asked them basically this question: what do you value most in life? And here's the weird part. The headline from this survey is that Americans value money more than friendship.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that a bit of a shocker?
No.
Really?
No. Well, it depends on who they ask. Did they ask young people? Because young people have plenty of friends. They can't imagine themselves without them. In general, I'm generalizing now. Not every young person has a lot of friends around them. But in general, when you're younger, if you're going to school, you know people. The opportunity is there every day to meet somebody and make a friend. Or if you're in the workplace, same thing. Once you're older, your circle narrows a bit. And,
so friendships become more valuable as you get
older.
That's
right. Friendships become more valuable. On the other hand, if you have a lot of friends around you, but you're older and you can't afford your rent or you can't afford your groceries, that's going to be the most important thing.
Now, in fairness, families came in number one at 69%. So people aren't completely favoring money over all else. So families came in 69%. 34% highlighted their careers as the most important. 23% chose money as the most important, followed then by 19% who said friends are most important. But I'm really surprised that friends would be that low. It does seem like friendships are the key to happiness.
Yeah, well, and again, I would want to know about the 23% who chose to highlight money.
Here's what it says. It does say highly educated Americans with high household incomes were more likely to value friendship, which I think is interesting.
Because their money is secure, they don't worry about it.
Evangelicals got most of their meaning in life from their faith, which I guess makes sense because they're evangelicals.
As long as they're living it, yes.
I don't know how much this survey really tells us, to be honest.
Yeah, that's right.
Maybe not much.
I'm not sure either because I think to choose between friendship and money is kind of a strange question.
Because
you need money to live. You need friends for your well-being spiritually and emotionally and even physically in many ways. You know, somebody did a survey once and said you need 7 hugs a day. And I don't know how many people get 7 hugs a day anymore, whether they're married or living with somebody or living alone or whatever.
You can be in a big romantic relationship and not get 7 hugs a day. That's a lot of hugs. I'm just saying.
Holy moly.
All right. Well, our next survey today comes to us from a company called Genfair. These guys studied 2,000 Americans who fly at least twice a year. And what they asked them really was, how do you avoid chatting on planes? Which is a big thing. People really don't seem to want to have a social interaction with the person sitting next to them on the plane. Do you?
Well, the first thing is probably don't sit next to me.
So let's establish that they're safe. Well, let's figure this out. You do like to chat to your seatmate, then, I take it.
Well, here and there. Not always, actually. I'm a pretty chatty person.
Do you start the conversation, or do you wait until they start it?
To tell you the truth, I haven't flown in a long time.
What is your reaction when you're seated and the person points at the seat next to you and says, "That's me"? Do you look at them and smile and say, "Hello, how you doing"? Do you?
Well, it depends on what's going on. I try to read the body language, actually. I think body language can tell you a lot. If somebody is not making eye contact with you, if they seem like they're crabby getting their overhead luggage in the compartment, that's it. You know, they don't want to talk, maybe. Or yeah. if they take out a computer and start doing work, forget it. I know they're busy. They have their time is already planned, and it does not include chatting with me.
It may be that they're just trying to tell you, don't talk to me. They may have nothing on their computer they really need to do, as it turns out.
Oh, I'd look over.
According to this survey, the most common thing people do to avoid talking to you is putting on headphones. That's the first thing you do. Put on some headphones. I'm not going to try to talk to people through their headphones, are you? I would not bother somebody.
No, probably not.
24% will read a book. 13% will look at their phone.
That's not anything unusual anywhere.
And it's not going to stop somebody from talking to you just because you're looking at your phone. 12% will just come right out and say, "I'm tired and I want to sleep." 8% will get up and use the restroom. Hey, that only works for a couple of minutes. I don't think that's going to do much.
Well, yeah,
good.
But they figure probably by the time you're back from the restroom, you know, Chatty Cathy has found somebody else to speak with.
3% just ignore the person next to them. I don't see how you do that. What if the person asks you a question? You're just going to ignore the question?
I think you can answer a question, but I don't think it's going to go on. You know, is there going to be the follow-up? Are you going to have another question and another day? You know, I think you can tell. But, you know, you have to read people. And I'm going to tell you this, too. Right now, I think we're losing our skills at that.
Here's the problem with the conversation in an airplane seat. You are trapped. If it starts to go south, you can't unhinge yourself from the conversation. If that little old lady starts telling you about all the relatives that she visited on her trip to Des Moines, and the sister and the brother and what he's doing and where he works, and you can't tell her, okay, stop. Right.
Well, that's when you get the headphones out. Or open a book. I mean, a book works fine.
Isn't it more rude to do that mid conversation after you've been friendly and chatting with them for a few minutes on the nice, then you realize they're boring and you can't stand to hear them speak another second. Mm-hmm. Isn't it more insulting than to say, "I have to put my headphones on now"?
Well, then go to the ladies' room or the men's room. Go to the restroom. You know, that's when you go to the restroom. Pull that restroom card out and do it, because, you know, by the time you come back, and you may have a line at the restroom. So,
that's true.
It's the one time you
hope for a line at the restroom.
Right. And that person that was chatting with you may actually have dozed off, which means if they're on the end seat and you're on the inside, you have to wake them up to get to your seat.
Which will start the conversation over again. Yes. Mm-hmm. Interestingly, here Americans have the lowest tolerance for chit chat in the airplane seats, while Italians were most willing to chat.
That all makes sense to me.
80% of Italians were completely in favor of chatting with their neighbors on an airplane. Isn't that interesting?
Well, I'm half Italian, and I know that half of the family is never quiet when they get together. So, yeah, that makes all the sense of the world to me.
90% of Canadians. Nope. Sorry, not talking to ya.
Really? I'm surprised at that. Canadians are so, you know, they have this reputation for being so nice.
Yeah, they are friendly, Canadians, but they are polite and reserved, I think.
Maybe,
I feel like, sort of.
Maybe their niceness translates into, I'm going to consider your, and respect your quiet time, and so I won't chat with you. That may be it.
All right, moving on to our next topic today, and this one is dear to your heart as a teacher yourself. Mm-hmm. According to the just-released 2018 Global Teacher Status Index, they wanted to find out where in the world teachers are most respected. God knows here in the United States, we have some issues with teachers not getting paid adequately, not having to buy their own school supplies. It's just a horror show for teachers here in the United States.
Absolutely.
According to the survey, China and Malaysia were the top countries for teachers. These are the places where just culturally they respect and believe that teachers are of great value to their culture. I think that's interesting.
It's not United States. I know that. I mean, you know, that I don't know why it is. We give so much lip service to how important teachers are, and yet other countries outrank us.
It is unusual. According to this, though, in the United States, 42% of parents would encourage their children to go into the teaching profession. So it isn't as though we look down on teachers.
Well, I would take issue with that one on you.
You do think we do look down on teachers?
Yes, I think we do, and here's why. First of all, there's an old cliche called, if you can't do, teach.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's something people have heard and still hear. In other words, if you can't do something better, well, then go teach about it, you know, or teach something. Anybody, in other words, anybody could be a teacher. And there are a lot of teachers who are not that effective, but there are, I would think, in this day and age, if you're a teacher and you're a good one, you really are dedicated and love it, because you don't, and the truth is the money. Come on.
It doesn't really make sense, because our most valuable commodity, it would seem, are kids.
That's right.
Maybe this is a larger question, because in some respects, we are more only concerned about the here and now. We don't seem to, in our culture, have a great amount of concern about 40 years, 100 years down the road. Mm-hmm. We just want to get in, get out. As long as things are fine while I'm alive, I'm fine.
It's, we tend to be short-sighted, is what you're saying.
Very short-sighted. It's kind of like the global warming, climate change thing.
Yep.
I think that if we could sort of shore up our educational system by really throwing a lot of support at teachers, making the job of teacher become more of a valued commodity, then 20 years from now, we'd be reaping the benefits.
Listen, the other thing they should look at, too, is the curriculum. Do they need advanced trigonometry, or do they need a course in just everyday accounting, how to make a budget out for a household, whether your household is one or a family of, you know, a couple of people, how to fill out an income tax form? I never learned that in school, ever.
No, I mean, that's a whole other argument. I mean,
right,
having the teaching life skills in school, why we never got to that, I don't know. It's the most crazy thing.
That goes back to it, because then it's like, well, not only anybody could teach, but who cares if they, you know, this is not the most useful thing in the world, perhaps, for advanced classes to get those kids into Ivy League colleges. Yes. But after that, for the vast majority of kids, a lot of people may look at that and say, what do they need this for? You know, that can't help them in life. And so as a result, because the value of the curriculum is questionable, the value of how people see teachers, I think, goes down.
Okay, well, we're going to end today with the, you know, Susan, once in a while we have a topic that's just really dumb. It was just like I couldn't find a good one. Well, this is today's really,
this is your dumb topic?
This is my dumb topic of the day. And it's a survey from where's it come from? It's a two-week-long social experiment done by Pet Wingman. So, I mean, it's not a big survey. It's probably like 20 people or something, but here's what the basically what it says. Apparently, if you have a dog and you put the picture of your dog on the dating app with you when you're trying to get a date, you're more likely to get a date if you have a dog in the picture with you. Does that make sense at all? You know, these dating apps where you're on your phone and you can swipe left, swipe right kind of thing to find a date. If there's a dog in the picture with you, you're more likely to be selected.
Okay. Well, that makes sense, because if I had a dog and I saw somebody with a dog on a dating site, and I thought, well, he's got a dog. So that, although he might be using the dog, a friend's dog, it might be a friend's dog to do this. But if he's got a dog, I would think, well, he and I both like dogs. That's a starting point for something in common. It doesn't mean everything is going to fall into place, but it might be. The other thing
it could have a reverse effect, though, because if you don't like dogs and then you see a dog in someone's picture, you will scratch them out. Whereas if they don't have a dog, but you do like dogs, it doesn't mean they don't like dogs. It just doesn't register. So in a way, I don't understand. It seems like it would counterbalance.
Personally, I have a friend of mine. I'm a cat person, so I don't really I don't have a dog in this fight. But But there are a lot of people who, at least a friend of mine. Let me not generalize like I accused people of 2 minutes ago. A friend of mine had a dog, and when she moved to her new home, it's still in the same area. She met a lot of people because she went out and walked. You have to walk a dog. You have to walk
you do.
Probably at least twice a day.
Yeah.
They got to go. You got to take them. That's it.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter the weather or whatever. Yeah. And the other people who have dogs in the area are going to be doing the exact same thing. They have the exact same dogs with dogs with the exact same needs. And so you will meet people. And she made a lot of friends just walking her dog.
Oh, I see. So dogs really are our social lubricant in a way.
Yes. She did not meet the love of her life walking a dog, but that's not to say it could not have happened with another group of friends or if she had a dog now. But I don't know. I mean, I think there's something – I think the dog connection makes sense. I'm not sure if a dog in a picture gets you very far, gives you as much information as you think it does.
According to this, women received 150% more responses if they had a dog in their picture. Men received only 100% more responses. So what does that mean? That men love to see a dog in the woman's picture more than women like to see a dog in the man's picture, I guess.
You were right when you said this survey was a little bit questionable.
It really is. I think we've overanalyzed it already. And it's time for us to go anyway. Susan Sagara, we're at the end of another episode of Older and Wiser. What are your last words today?
When you see me on the plane, find another seat. I'm going to talk to you.
That's great. All right, that'll do it for us today. We're glad you joined us for all the stuff that matters when you're 50 plus. Visit us at olderandwiser.com.